Praise the Lord, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalm, and let's read Psalm 20. Psalm 20. A Psalm of David. Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to think, according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Oh, King of heaven and earth, hear us as we are calling you, as we are praying to you, O God. We thank you, Lord, not because of our righteousness, but because of your righteousness. Because the blood of Jesus that shed on the cross of Calvary has saved us. O God, we thank you. You promised that you would send help from your sanctuary and strengthen us, O Lord, out of Zion. O God, we cry out in the name of Jesus. Let's come to the Lord and repent of our sin and confessing them to him, that he will forgive us as we renounce them, and he will accept us, and he will strengthen us, and he will defend us, and he will send us help. Yes, O God. We bless you, magnify you, we adore you. Let us confess our sins. Thank you, God, for the assurance of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance of salvation as we confess and renounce our sins. As we make commitment, let's make commitment to the Lord. And pertain to the things that we renounce, let us make commitment to God that we will not go back to that vomit. Let us make commitment that we will not do things that is any pleasant to the Lord, whether small or big. God, when he is disciplining us, he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the trials and discipline, the correction that we have received from you, even the painful one. We give you thanks because that's what we need, O Lord, to correct and rectify our ways. Yes, O God, we bless you, we magnify you. We adore you, our great God. Let's ask the Lord our needs. Yes, O Lord, as you said before me, the things that I need to do, hear my petitions, provide for me, protect me. Provide for us, O Lord, all of us. Protect us, all of us, all who we are here and in other places, our brethren, our pastors, our workers. O God, all the members of the church, protect us all from the coronavirus. And everyone who set his heart to seek you and follow you, protect them in the name of Jesus. Provide, O God, for families, congregation, provide for your church. Ask him your needs now. Continue to ask the Lord your needs. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Grant me, O God, according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel in my life. Yes, O God. Hear our petition. Hear our cry to you, Lord. Thank you, God, for all the answered prayers. Thank you, Jesus, for providing the needs. Give thanks to the Lord for your job, for your visa, for your salary. Thank you, God, for all the answered prayers. Thank you for the brethren who get their job this week. Oh, God, thank you for answering our prayers for them. Thank you, God, and thank you, Lord, for sustaining those who are working with good health, sustaining their salaries and incomes and companies. Pray now for your job, pray for your boss, pray for your company to prosper so that you too will prosper. God, thank you, provision from you. Open your hand, O God, and satisfy the need of your people. Thank you, God, no one can satisfy us but you, O Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your provision. Continue to provide for us, O God. Peace and joy, humility. The desire of our heart that is according to your words, fulfill it in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Master. We bless you, Lord. We pray for all the companies to prosper and bless them as our brethren. They are working there for the sake of our brethren. We bless these places and let their salaries to come continually on time and in full in the name of Jesus. Yes, O Lord. Pray now for your family, for your wife, your husband, for your children, for your parents, for your siblings. Pray. Thank you, Jesus, for my family. Whatever need they have, you put it in the hand of God. The future, the plans of God for your family also, in His hand. Reveal, O God, bless each and every family, bless each and every husband as the head of family. Help the husbands to provide, and help the wife to manage the house and to be submissive to your will and to your word and to your plans for the family. And help the husband and wife to work together, O God, to raise up godly children in the name of Jesus. Provide for those families among us who are in need, O Lord, material things. Provide them vision also, speak to them, unite them with one mind and one thought. Let no one do his own in the name of Jesus. Let be harmony inside each and every family so that your name will be glorified. Provide education, proper education for the children, so that they will raise up to serve you in the way that you had ordained in the name of Jesus. Oh God, Lord, we trust you. You are a great provider. You have been with us in the past. You have provided all the things, Lord. You have blessed your church in a special way. You have blessed each and every family, O God. I pray for faithfulness of each and every family. To you, to the family setup that you had ordained, to the church that they are part of, to the ministry, I pray for each and every family to shine that your name will be glorified. Oh God, thank you that each and every husband and wife, their relationship will bring glory to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray those who are still, Lord, single, I pray as you are preparing them, we trust that you will prepare the partners and you prepare them to be an instrument of yours to make godly families and to raise up godly children in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for let's pray for one another, our brethren, those who are in need of job, income, those who are sick. Let's also remember now our brethren in Malawi. They're having a hard time because of coronavirus. They are in financial need. Lord, provide for them. Provide for the church. Provide for each and every family what is needed for them of shelter, of food, of whatever medication needed, whatever instruments needed for their health, for their families, you provide, O God. We trust you, Lord, you are the great provider. Bless the pastor there and give him wisdom, give him faith, and provide for him, sustain him and his family. And the ministry there, the orphans, whoever there, O God, we need, we trust you, O God. As you are providing for us, we trust you, Lord, that you will also provide for them in the name of Jesus. Continue to pray for one another, carry each other's burden, and in this we fulfill the law of Christ. Yes, O God. I pray for our brethren who have no job, provide. Those who have lost their job, provide for them. Provide for them, O God, in the name of Jesus. Sustain them. Provide for them new jobs. And those who have no salary, they have stopped their salary taking, Lord, give it back to them in the name of Jesus. Provide the places, bless these places they are working, the companies, the nations, the countries, and so that they will receive their salaries. Let's pray for our homeland, that we commit ourselves to preach the gospel of Jesus to our families who are there, and to our nation that God had give us birth to that nation. God called us to preach the gospel to them. Jesus, I am willing. Hear, O my Lord, send me. Use me mightily, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I am willing, O God, to go on and do the work of yours. Salvation upon them, O God. Soften their heart to repent and come to you. Take them out from idol worship, from things unpleasing to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Redeemer. Thank you for everything. I pray for souls to be saved from my counsel, O God. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the nations that the Lord had placed the church here in UAE and in every nation. That the Lord had placed His church, His families, the members, the congregation, that God will bless these nations. Let's pray for the nation of UAE, Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, Syria. Let's pray for the nation of India, Sri Lanka, Philippines, Australia, and America, and also Malawi. And wherever the church has expanded, even few members or one family, let's pray for that nation to be blessed. Oh God, bless these nations. Let us have favor from you and from them. Make rules that your grace will flow to us. Let be peace in these nations, oh God. Let be healing. Let be miracles so that we, your church, as you bless this nation, will be blessed. We come against all corruption, all extortion or abuse or injustice or taking advantage of the people. We come against, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, you raise up governments, that you will care for the people and bless them so that we too will bless. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for the church. God bless your church. Tell him, Lord, fill me once again with the Holy Ghost. I am willing to go and I preach your word to the people around me. I commit myself to pray for the people, to live the life that you want me to live, to be an example to them. And Lord, once again, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Refill me with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that I will go and preach your word. Give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, I pray for those who have not yet water baptized. Prepare them to get water baptism, oh God. And I pray also, Lord, for those who have not received the Holy Spirit baptism, fill them right now in the name of Jesus and use them mightily, O God, for your glory. Thank you, Master. Thank you for everything you give us. Here we are, Lord, we are your church, your people. Lead us to do the very work of yours. I know that our worship today, anoint the songs, our prayers, the giving. Anoint the word of yours that you sent to your church. Help each and every one of us, oh God, to be surrendering everything to you, to be our vessels of yours, to be filled, to be changed, to be molded by your hand. You are the potter hand. Jesus, come. You are the head of the church. Lead us. Help us to do the very things that you want us to do. We bless you, God. We magnify you. This is all we ask and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand. Let us give the praise and the glory and thanks to the Lord who deserves all the glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Give thanks to the Lord and rejoice in His presence. Let's come to the Lord and we ask Him to renew our life. Let's forget the past and let us now focus on Jesus, who can renew our lives and who can lead us in the way that He needs us to go through. Give us the grace of God. Give to my brothers and my sisters the grace to follow You even through the narrow gate. And through the narrow way. Till the end You come and take us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I never wanted to be the same.
to us, O God, always from your word, and direct us in the way that you want us to go on. Full control, and he will lead you. back for that. Souls, lead us, continually speak to us, always with your word, send to us the Holy Spirit to carry to us what you hear from God our Father, he will bring to us. Lead us, O God, step by step. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us who surrender everything to you, giving you full control over his life, so that we can start once again to enjoy your real and true blessing. Oh God, I pray, those among us who have not yet tasted your goodness, let them taste it, oh God. Let them enjoy it as they give you full control over their lives. So God, we thank you and we bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Book of Malachi, chapter 3. Time now to collect our tithes and offering and our first fruits. Chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And approve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be a room enough to receive it. When we bring our tithes and offering to God without reservation, when we give the correct amount of of tithings, the windows of heaven shall be opened. And he will pour out so much blessing that we'll have no place to keep. In verse 11, after we bring the tithes, the Lord promised also, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, say the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, say the Lord of hosts. God will rebuke the devourer, the pestilence, the fines, the penalties, the high prices, the taking advantage of us, the thieves, the robbers. The Lord will rebuke them when we tithe and bring to God what belongs to Him. I always, when I see some bill that is out of what I expect, Lord, I say, rebuke this devourer. And the Lord is faithful. After a time, either this bill will be canceled or reduced, or God will direct me to another direction that I don't need to spend such amount. I always, when I face this, say, Lord, I'm bringing my tithes and offering and my first fruit to you in full. Lord, don't allow me to be taken by the devourer and by pestilence. Yes, O God, please help me. And the Lord would do the needful things on my behalf. And I believe that those who obey Him, He is doing the same. And I want to tell you one thing more. I never see any person who gives to God what due to God and He is in need. They always have plenty. The secret is in, not only in giving, but in obeying what God says in His word. Let's collect our tithes and offering and our things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your provision for your people. Thank you for each and everyone's job and salary and visa and income. And thank you, Lord, for their obedience to bring their tithes and offering and first fruits to you, Lord. Those who are here and those who are in other places, I pray, oh God, open the windows of heaven and bless them and rebuke the devourers in their life in the name of Jesus. And I pray also, Lord, that everyone know that they are blessed by you. And I pray, oh God, that whatever they had brought, bring it back to them 1,000 times. And I pray, Lord, anoint this amount of money. Use it mightily. I know those who will use it. Lord, don't allow even one piece of coin not to be put in a place that you don't want it. In the name of Jesus, I pray for wisdom. I pray, Lord, as we are faithful to bring to you what is due to you, oh God, I pray, rebuke whatever devourer, we are aware or not aware. Rebuke it, unnecessarily, expenses, bills, fines, penalties, extortion, false services that we are asked to pay. Rebuke all in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let your grace be upon your church and your people. Thank you, God. And I pray that you will enable us, oh Lord, to reach the lost and to preach your word. Lead us through the scriptures. Speak to us with the Holy Spirit to continue to serve you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Acts chapter 10. We have started to speak about how to hunger and thirst for righteousness based on what Jesus said. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we have reached to speak about examples that the Bible gives us about righteous people and what we can learn from their lives. And we started to speak recently about the writers. Cornelius was a Gentile and would not expect that such a man, he would fear God, and we discovered that he is a man of prayer, man of fasting, and man who does not worship idol, and the man who is not dead in fornication, and other things that pertain to the Gentile, of fears of idols, and who sacrifice for idols, but he delighted to be near to God. And he was a person of regular praying and fasting, and the Lord appeared to him. He sent him his angel, and let's read it now again, and let's continue to study how from the life of Cornelius we hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, we are not only called to be righteous through the blood of Jesus, but also we have to hunger and thirst how to excel in the way that God wants us to move. Let's read it from verse 1, Acts 10 to verse 35. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked to him, on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And so heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou for not common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again unto heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he has seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompany him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of the another nation, but God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in a bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent for thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that fear him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Amen. God, thank you for your word. Anoint my lips, O God, and direct your words and message in the way that you want it to flow, in the name of Jesus. I pray with verses and a statement, and let your name be glorified in our midst. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. What are the characters and the attitude that we can learn from Cornelius, a righteous man? In verse 25, it says, And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. Cornelius was open for correction. You know, righteous people may not know everything, but when the truth revealed to them, they are willing to be corrected. What he did, that he kneeled down at the feet of the man of God. Righteous people are willing to be corrected. Wicked people, they never accept correction. Even they are wrong, they know they are wrong, but they cannot accept it. Cornelius here Peter told him, you should not kneel down at me or worship. I am also a man like you. So when he come to know the truth, he accepted it. We hear the word of God from the man of God. We hear and obey what God's word was sent to us through their lives. That is the first things today we discuss is righteous people are open for correction. Wicked people, they will not be willing to be corrected. The other point that we need to understand how to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is a stage of life and God wants us to move step by step. But once He reveals something to us of the truth, we need to abide in it. When God sent Peter to His house, when He told him, go and send for Peter, Peter was coming to His house to tell Him what God wanted him. Cornelius was waiting for Peter to come so that he can hear from him from the word of God. In verse 24, and the more after they enter into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. See here, Cornelius was waiting for Peter to arrive so that he can hear what God wants him to hear. Righteous people are waiting for God to send His word to them. They are hungry for the word of God. They are hungry for what is in the mind of God to be declared to them. And that is how we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We don't know what is going on tomorrow, but we need to be hungry and thirsty to hear what God is want to tell us today. So tomorrow we can move. Or the next hours we can move. Next days we can move. In verse 33, also, after Peter come in and Cornelius explained to him the vision, everything, in verse 33, he told him, immediately therefore I sent for thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. He said, I am waiting, all of us here waiting to hear what God wants to tell us through your life. That's it, the point. He was waiting that what Peter is going to say, that we would do. That's how to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when we know that when he starts to speak, there's no defensive mechanism against the message, no argument. What God wants to send, speak through Peter, Cornelius was willing to hear and accept. Righteous people, they are hungry also that the message will reach their families, their friends, their relatives, their kinsmen. When Peter went to Cornelius, we can read verse again, verse 24, he say, the word of God say, what Cornelius had done, he said, and more after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. He was inviting people to hear the message that God sent to them. He wanted to spread the word of God and the righteousness of God to other people. And in verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So there are other people he invited with him. In verse 33, as we have read also, now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So they were a group of people. The house was filled with people that Cornelius inviting them to hear the message and what God wants to say. Of course they saw when Peter refused that Cornelius will kneel down. They saw Cornelius, he is waiting for Peter, waiting to hear the word of God. Sure, he was telling them that you come, there is a message of God to us. That's our hunger and thirst for righteousness. What else we learn? And let's read verse 28-29. And he said unto them, that's Peter, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of the another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore come I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. When Peter entered, the way he spoke it, he told them, you know that we as a Jew, we cannot go and come and be with other people nation, because the other people nation, they consider common people and unclean. And that's the truth. He told them exactly what was his feeling before God speak to him. But now when God spoke to me, now I am coming to you. Have they offended? Have they get upset with Peter? Have they reacted? Okay. Did Peter make an introduction to them or ministry, because he cannot tell them that I consider you unclean before? But I want to say here, righteous people will not be offended when the truth is revealed. Now, why now people react and easily offended? You know why? Because the church's language now is flattery. You know, flattery is the language of the devil. They will not tell the truth. Peter did not make an introduction to let them understand the situation before. He just plainly said to them. Yes, true. Certain time we need to be tactful. Peter was speaking to them clearly. He was not tactful. He just boldly said to them, but that's the truth. And that is what is lack in the life of the church. Truth is not being said properly because people use on flattery. And that's why sin is rampant. I'm not saying not to be tactful, but I'm saying here, we need to give the truth. Exactly, clearly, that the one in front of us will understand the situation well. As we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we need to receive the truth and we need also to give it in a proper way. In a clear, understandable way. What more we can learn from the writer's life of Cornelius? Cornelius and the people with him, his friends, his family, his household, his near kin relatives, his relatives, when they hear the message of Peter, they receive Christ. What was the message of Peter? Verse 36. Sorry, I'll start from verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now that is the message that Peter delivered to them. And that message, they received it. Peter explained to them about Christ, what he did, the miracles, the wonders that he did, his healing. He explained to them that how he died on the cross, and he also told them that God raised him from the dead on the third day. And also, he told them that after his resurrection, we had seen him. Not all the people, but chosen people, say, me and others, chosen people by God saw Christ resurrected from the dead. And he told them that we are commanded by him to go and preach. And he told them that those who believe in him, they will receive remission of their sins. And he told them that to fulfill the word of God that is the prophet spoke about. Righteous people, when they hear the message, they receive Christ. And what had happened to them when they hear the message, how we know that they have received Christ? You say, well, Peter yet spake this word, the Holy Ghost fell on them which we hear the word, and they of the circumcision which he believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. God had poured on them the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we understand that they have received Christ. Not only they have received Christ, righteous people, they need to receive Christ to be saved. Righteous people, they need to repent of their sins so that they get saved. Peter told them that those who believe on Christ, they will receive remission of their sins. So he told them there is a sin. And we know that Cornelius and his friend get repented, as the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 11, verse 18. The scripture informs us that the church at that time was convinced that Cornelius and the people with him, they had repented and they are accepted by God. Let's read Acts 11, verse 18. After Peter went back and he opened to the church what had happened. And when they hear these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. They confirmed that Cornelius and his family and the people with him, they are Gentiles, they receive repentance from God. God gave them repentance, granted them repentance, and God gave them also salvation. What else righteous people need to do? How we hunger and thirst for righteousness, repentance, receiving Christ. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. Verse 46. For they hear them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answer Peter. So here they start to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost fall on them. Righteous people, they are also need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They hear them speaking in tongues. Peter gives them the message about Jesus, but the Holy Ghost fall on them, they start to speak in tongues. So they know that they have received the Holy Ghost baptism, and that's what convinced Peter. That if the Holy Ghost fall on them, so they had been accepted by God. And this is the part of the scripture where the Holy Ghost baptism was before the water baptism. And I believe God allowed this to happen this way to convince Peter and the church that those Gentiles, they are accepted by the Lord. Our point here that righteousness, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, you need to seek God to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you need to function and to serve God by the gift of the Holy Spirit. What else? Righteous people, how we hunger and thirst for righteousness. In verse 46, the last part of it, then answer Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we understand now they got to receive water baptism. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they need also to be water baptized, to be immersed under the water, to bury their old life after they repented, after they received Christ. They show that they are obedient to Christ in burying their old life to rise up to a new life. To rise up to a new life, they need to be burying the old life and receive the water baptism by immersion under water in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Also, we need to understand that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they need to be part of a church. The reason that God sent Peter to Cornelius, we have explained a lot of reasons. But as a righteous person, Cornelius, they need to be part of a church. His family, his ministry, those who are with him, those who are those whom he is reaching out, those whom he preach the gospel to them. They need to be with him in the church. We need to be part of the church. We read verse 5 and 6. And now, when God revealed himself to him, God had put church on earth, sitting home, praying at home is correct, but are you connected and part of a church? That is important. Accountability. Body of Christ. As Peter was moved by God to go to Cornelius, Cornelius also moved by God to send for Peter. God has scripture, he follows scriptures. He does not follow people, emotion, understanding. And verse 5 and 6, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And we know that when Peter went, what had happened. And if we will read the scriptures, we understand that Cornelius and his family, his ministry become part of the church. We have read in Acts 11:18 that when the church hear what had happened, they come to know that God granted to the Gentile repentance. And that extend the church to the city of Caesarea. The church become a blessing to Cornelius, and also Cornelius become a blessing to the church of God. In Acts chapter 15, the church need to be connected. The church need to be connected. The church need to be one family, even distances and even separation and even long areas and places that is far away, but still God has ordained a structure for the church. It's a body, cannot be divided. Let's read Acts chapter 15. Let's read verse 7 to verse 9. Let's read. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. There was some argument in the church whether the Gentiles, they need to be circumcised. Now Peter want to bring his experience in the house of Cornelius, what had happened. He bring in all the story of them, of how God had accepted the Gentiles. And God, which knows the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So they were part of the church now. They are connected with the church. Apostle James, after the testimony of Apostle Peter, he ratified the same things. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a couple of for his name. Now again, James is telling the same testimony of Apostle Peter. And to this agree, verse 15, the words of the prophets, as is written, after this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, the house of David, the tabernacle, the tent, the shelter, the house of David, which is falling down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, say the Lord, who does all these things. Apostle James, he brought the word of the prophets of the Old Testament, and he told them, this is fulfillment of the Old Testament, that the Gentiles to be part of the church. Righteous people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they would be keeping the unity of the church, keeping to be part of the church, keeping the commitment, keeping the ministry and all the good work within the context of the church. Let's all stand. The Lord will continue to speak to us from His Word, to make us understand His will, and to make us receive more of His blessings. Now we understand why Peter needs to go to Him, so that things will be clear. A lot of things was clarified when Peter moved in the direction that God wants him, and also Cornelius, a man, a righteous man, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and knew what God wanted him to do, and he was willing to do it. Make your commitment to God. Now we understand a lot of things that we need to do. We are learning from scriptures. Ask God to renew your mind, your heart, your life. There are things you need to do, need to be changed. God has scriptures. God wants us to follow these scriptures. Not our own understanding, not our own stance, but we need to obey Him. As He sent His word, we need to wait for it, and we need to obey it. Make your commitment to God now. Commitment for water baptism, commitment to repent of your sins, commitment to be willing to be corrected, commitment to hunger and thirst for the word of God, to wait for it, commitment not to react and get offended easily, but accept the truth when it's said to you. Yes, O God.
Thank you.
change the hearts of your people. Grant repentance, O God. Grant them hunger and thirst for your righteousness, hunger for your word, hunger to follow your ways and your commands and your instructions. Thank you, God, for your word that you're always sending us to feed us, to direct us, to help us to overcome things, our Lord, in this life. I pray, O God, pray for those who are committed, who are deciding to really go after your ways. You help them, provide for them. And I pray that you do wonderful things on their behalf. Prosper the work of their hands and reward them. That's their ministry and their work. And I pray for those who are still hard-hearted and non-willing, O God. I put them in your hand. You'll be the one to handle them. You will be the one to deal with their hard-heartedness. In the name of Jesus. God bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Forever with us, and your love endure forever. In His name, amen.